Praise God, my soul, with all my heart. Let me exalt his holy name. Forget not all his benefits. His praise my soul in song proclaim. The Lord forgives you all your sins and heals your sickness and distress. Your life he rescues from the grave and crowns you in his tenderness. And crowns you in his tenderness. He satisfies your deep desires from his unending stores of good, so that just like the eagle's strength, your youthful vigor is renewed. The Lord is known for righteous acts and justice to downtrodden ones. To Moses he made known his ways, his mighty deeds to Israel's sons, his mighty deeds to Israel's sons. The Lord is merciful and kind, to anger slow and full of grace. He will not constantly reprove, or in his anger hide his face. He does not punish our misdeeds, or give our sins their just reward. How great his love, as high as heaven, towards all those who fear the Lord, towards all those who fear the Lord. As far as east is from the west, so far his love has borne away our many sins and trespasses, and all the guilt that on us lay. Just as a father loves his child, so God loves those who fear his name. For he remembers we are dust, and well he knows our feeble frame. And well he knows our feeble frame. Each human life is like the grass, and like a meadow flower it grows. Its place will never be recalled. Once over it the tempest blows. But everlasting is God's love for those who fear him and their seed, for those who keep his covenant and carefully his precepts heed, and carefully his precepts heed.
Let's sing the last verse with just the voices.
God's kingly rule is over all. In heaven he has set his throne. Oh, you his angels, praise the Lord. Strong ones by whom his will is done. Oh, praise the Lord, you heavenly hosts, his servants who his realm. And you, my soul, oh, praise the Lord. And you, my soul, oh, praise the Lord.
pray together. Lord God, we thank you for the amazing work you have done, are doing, and want to do in our lives. Lord, open our eyes to see more of who you are. Lord, we invite you, Holy Spirit, move in our midst. Lord, as Becca brings your word, Lord, would your word that is sharper than a double-edged sword come and penetrate our hearts and reveal Jesus to us. Lord, that you might be glorified. Amen. Amen. Please take your seats, everyone.
Hello, everyone. It's lovely to see you. My name's Becca. I'm one of the leaders here at Holland Road. And wasn't it just a joy to hear their stories? I loved the wonder and the amazement that they lead us to, including Tom, who does a daily 10-kilometre walk in the South Downs. That's quite amazing. But I just want to take some time now to unpack some of the truths that you guys have been speaking about and some of the things about Jesus that we have borne witness to this morning already in their lives. We're going to take some time now looking at that psalm, which was very fun to sing. It's Psalm 103. So if you've got Bibles, I'd love you to open them, and we'll be going through them together. We've been in a series, as Tim said, looking at a guy called David. He was a shepherd boy turned king of Israel, and he's described as a great man. And he writes a whole long load of songs and poems describing his experience of life and his experience of God. And these are recorded in a book called the Psalms. These are found in the middle of the Bible. And these songs get to the heart of what King David discovers about God, what he loves about God, sometimes what he finds difficult about following God and difficult about life. But this one is a song of praise. And he describes things he wants to ensure he never forgets. And therefore, it's great advice to those being baptized today. And it's great advice to us about what we need to remember, what we need to make sure we never forget. Dan and I moved house a few months ago, and I must admit to you that I've got a little bit obsessed with thinking about how to decorate it. I've got a lot of Pinterest boards and a lot of chat about what I'd like to do, but I've made absolutely no decisions yet because I'm afraid of making decisions, apparently. And I spent a lot of time looking at upcycling. Do you know what upcycling is? It's when you take a piece of furniture that's quite old, it's a bit broken in some way, and you transform it, something like this, into this. The next photo, please. Thank you. Great. And you make something beautiful. You add things, restore things, and make it beautiful. And I think they look really, really good. I want to try it. But it actually got me thinking, doesn't our world need this? Doesn't it need a bit of renewal? I wonder, do you long to experience renewal in your life? Do you want things in your life that feel a bit broken to be made new? For boredom, for broken relationships, for loneliness, for financial difficulty, for addiction. Do you want it to change? Life is hard often, isn't it? Filled with ups and downs, and sometimes it can be such a struggle. And I thought, our lives need renewal, and our world needs such renewal, doesn't it? This week marked a year since Russia invaded Ukraine. And we watch on at the devastation that that country continues to experience. We hear the news of what's happening in Syria and in Turkey since that horrible earthquake. And we just think, this needs making new. And it actually needs more than just upcycling. It needs complete change. Perhaps you're here and you're not a Christian, and you're wondering, are there really any benefits to Christianity? I could be at brunch right now. I could be walking the dog. I could be at football, I could be anywhere other than in a room full of strangers talking about God. Does Christianity add to the struggle of life, or does it have benefits? And perhaps you are a Christian, but this psalm is just not your heartbeat right now. Praise does not come easy. It feels a bit more like a chore, a bit more like through gritted teeth. Or you just feel a bit cold. Do you long for your faith to be renewed. I long to be a bit more like these guys who stood up here this morning and shared their faith with such energy and enthusiasm. Do you? I think if your answers are yes, this psalm will help us. What should we look to first? Let's firstly look at David's memory. What is it that David remembers? At university, I lived with a lovely bunch of people, but one of them had a really, really shocking memory. He couldn't remember dates. He had no idea when his lectures were. He wasn't even late to them. He just didn't know that they were happening. He forgot people's names, and he regularly forgot his PIN code to his credit card. And he'd like come rushing into the house being like, guys, I've forgotten it again. I can't buy anything. I can't get any money out. I just don't really know what to do. And then it would kind of go on for days until the bathroom was next to my room. And I'd often hear him singing in the shower 4 numbers in a row. And I'd be like, oh, he's remembered it. He'd create a song and then get all of us to remember the song with him. And thankfully, he had trustworthy housemates. We forget things really easily, don't we, as we go through life. But we need to remember what's important. We started this service thinking about what God has done for us. And this psalm is going to help us think about that even more. David remembers. He remembers the benefits of being a Christian, of belonging to God. So let's read verses 1 to 5 to see what these benefits are. He states them in pairs to help us understand them further. He says, praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives you all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. David remembers the benefits of God's work in our lives. He says that God forgives all of our sin, and he heals all of our diseases. God forgives all of our sin. Not just a little bit of it, not just some of it, but our whole record of things that we have done against God and against other people. That's what sin is. That whole record is wiped clean, all of it. God heals us. Sin and the effects of living in this broken world can harm us in so many ways. And God promises to heal us completely. And some of us will experience some of that in this life. But certainly, if we love Jesus and trust in him, all of us will experience complete healing as we go on into the next. There will be a day that is coming where there is no more pain, no more crying, and no more mourning. And Jesus will bring it. This pair shows us that God is powerful. He is not satisfied in us remaining in darkness. And he's powerful enough to rewrite our stories. The next pair. God redeems us and crowns us. He says we were in a pit. We were in a darkened pit of our sin and our lostness from him. And yet he says, I'm going to lift you out. There's a way out of this. You're stuck, but I'm going to lift you out and offer you freedom. And then he doesn't just leave us, he crowns us. He takes us from being orphans and takes us to be sons and daughters. He adopts us into his family. This pair shows us that God is kind. He wishes to change our identity from lost and broken to found and belonging. We have a new purpose and a new direction, able to talk with God whenever we wish. And that is his priority for his people. And our last pair. God satisfies our desires and renews our youth. For people who are always longing for something, he fills our lives day by day with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. The eagle is an incredible bird that is powerful, that can soar really, really high above the clouds. It has an incredible eyesight. It can see for miles and miles. God is the kind of God that wants to give us strength like that, where we can fly above the clouds of life and see a different perspective, a different view of what we are stuck in. God is a creative provider, a loving father who sees his people's needs and meets them in ways that transform our lives. And so let's just pause. Those three pairs, satisfying our desires, renewing our youth, redeeming us and crowning us, forgiving our sin and healing our diseases. That is the story of the Christian life. That is the story that we get to celebrate every day when we trust in Jesus. It's the pattern of how God works in the people that belong to him. Forgives, heals, redeems, crowns, satisfies and renews the believer. And we've heard that pattern from each person that has shared their story today, haven't we? It's an incredible list. Why wouldn't we want them? And why wouldn't we want to remember them? And so we need to meditate on them, not as a relaxation technique for the mind, but to fill us up. And it requires us to be active. And so my first challenge to you today is to remember those first five verses this week. Be active in that memory. Write them on pieces of paper. Put them around your house. Put them on your mirror when you look at yourself every day. Put them on your kettle when you boil the kettle for a cuppa. Put them somewhere you're going to see them. Hey, sing it as a song in the shower. Remember it. Remember what God has done. Because when we forget God's benefits, what comes in? Fear, anger, anxiety, discouragement. Because life is full of it. And so we need to set our minds on what God has done for us. So as we remember his benefits, hope can fly again. So that's the pattern of how God works. But how can we take hold of these benefits? The second thing we need to think about is God's memory. What is it that God, the King of the heavens, remembers? Let's skip ahead a little to verses 13 to 18. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it is gone. And its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. Who is it that God remembers? These verses say that he remembers those who fear him. And that's a strange phrase, isn't it? It's often hard to understand. But those who fear God means those who love God. Those who love God and love others with all they have. And so God remembers those who fear him. And verse 14, he remembers how we have been made, that we are dust. Humans come from the earth, and to the earth they will return. God remembers that our mortal lives are very fleeting. They flourish like the flower, but the wind blows over it and they are gone. Life is fleeting and fragile, isn't it? And as we mourn precious people that we have lost as a church family recently, we know that oh so well. But God remembers every detail of our lives. And our lives are incredibly precious. We're capable of amazing things. The other week I sat next to this guy at dinner who, for his PhD, is trying to create an artificial human heart. And I thought, wow, that's amazing. That is what you're doing with your life. Humanity is capable of incredible things. But in comparison to eternity, we spend a fleeting moment in this life. And yet verse 17 says, from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him. How does that work? How can we be loved from everlasting to everlasting when we're so temporary? We haven't lived forever. The Bible's answer is that God the Father loves me and loves you if you're trusting in Jesus with the very love that he has for his eternal son, Jesus. Everlasting love only really belongs to Jesus Christ. But if we belong to him, we get in on it. We get to benefit from knowing that love. And I'm sorry, I can't remember who it was, but someone mentioned that love earlier. That unconditional, beautiful love. A love that is unending, unbreakable, and incomparably powerful. A love that changes, the one who is loved. Do you want to be loved like that? Do you want to know a love for you that is unending, unconditional, unbreakable? And if your answer is yes, keep listening, because we need to know the answer to who is this great love for? Who can have it? Can we? Can you? Can I? Verse 18 said, it was for those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. That means this love is for anyone who's always loved God with everything they have and always loved every other person they've ever met. Oh. That sounds sad, doesn't it? Because I haven't done that. It seems that our inability to love like the love that we want to be shown excludes us. We haven't always loved God with everything we have we? Perhaps on purpose, by choice, perhaps by laziness or apathy, or just by sheer indifference, or we haven't known how. So can we experience God's love? Surely from this assessment, God's love wouldn't be for anyone, would it? We'd all be cut off. So where is the good news in this psalm of praise? Becca, this psalm started happy and now we've kind of gone down a downturn. God remembers much, but this passage also says there's some things that he forgets. What is it that God doesn't remember? Back to verse 9. Verse 9 says, God will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. There seems to be a situation where God does not always accuse. There seems to be a situation where God does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us for how we have acted. Instead, it seems that experiencing his love is still possible. And we might feel excited about that, or we might feel a bit blasé. And I think that's because our culture can have quite a different view about what's right or wrong than God's view. When someone goes against God or someone else, how do you react? I guess it depends on what it is, but with the smaller things, we can often find ourselves saying, oh, don't worry, no problem, you're only human. And in this, we rush in and we forget the flourishing that we were made for as humans. We're made to love one another and to love God. We're made to create, to restore, to build this world, to build society, to build one another up for selfless, fun, purposeful purposes. And yet, we aren't able to do that very often. What if that moment of someone realizing and seeking forgiveness isn't a moment to say, no worries, but instead a moment to point ourselves or them to a God who says, I see this. I see your actions. I see what you have done against me and against others. But I have dealt with it. And if you want to receive that, you can move on in newness and in power. As we sin, we break our relationship with God, and then we try and fill that void with other things, often sinning all the more. And if we think that's no big deal to God, then verses 9 and 10 are going to be very unimpressive to us. But if we know that God is holy, that God is righteous, that God is pure, as we were singing earlier, we should be terrified. Terrified at the prospect of being treated as our sins deserve. Because our sin separates us from God, the author of love and life. And if we're treated as we deserve, we'll be separated from this forever. If they're remembered forever, we'll be in the pit forever. But this passage says there's another possibility. There's a way for us not to be treated as our sins deserve. How is this possible? God doesn't forget because he's so eternal that he's lost his memory. He chooses to remember something else instead. He chooses to remember what it is that has removed our transgressions, our sins from us. He remembers his son. He remembers his son's life, death, and resurrection. And in this, God offers his love to everyone. but it's our choice whether or not we accept it. Jesus, the eternal Son of God, took on human flesh and was born among us. And when he took on flesh, he gave us the opportunity to be drawn into his life. In his life, he loved God with all he had. He loved other people with all he had. In fact, he did it perfectly. So much so that when he was falsely arrested and killed on a cross, it was for the purpose of taking all the ways we haven't loved God and other people onto himself. And all those things died with him on the cross. And when he was raised from the dead in renewed life, he offered that life then to his followers. He said, come, follow me. Have your slate wiped clean. Have your record wiped clean and live in resurrected life. And so if we trust in Jesus, that's who God remembers instead. I've used this illustration before, but I like it, so I'm going to use it again. Imagine this piece of paper is you. This Bible is Jesus. When we trust in Jesus, we're united with him. And so what happens to the Bible happens to the piece of paper. When Jesus was dead, we trust in him, our sins were buried there and left there. When Jesus was resurrected, we are resurrected with him. And so when God looks for us and we're trusting in Jesus, what does he see? Well done, David. He sees Jesus. He doesn't see our record. Believers become united with Christ, and in him we could not be more secure. All of his victories are ours now too. And so now that we're in Jesus, God's love for us is not just like his love for Jesus. It's not just based on his love for Jesus. It is his love for Jesus. We are so identified with Christ that we are loved by God as the eternal Son. And this is what baptism is all about. The picture of us being identified with Jesus. As they go under the water later, it symbolizes the death of a life that didn't love God and love others with all their heart. And as they come out of the water, we see the symbolism of sharing in Jesus' resurrection. And that is why we celebrate. Death is dead, love has won, Christ has conquered. And so give your biggest cheer as they come out of the water later, as we thank God for what he does in lives. Because as we follow Jesus, we live a life more like his. And the Bible instructs us on how to do so, and God's Spirit encourages and empowers us as we walk with Jesus. It's not always easy, and it does come with costs. Obedience is hard, and it changes us. We lay down our own will, and we follow God's instead. But in Christ, we share in the everlasting love of God. Infinite distances, as far as the east is from the west, is used to describe infinite love. Our record of sin, past, present, and future, is wiped clean. There is no file in heaven. There's no file in God's hands of Becca Sweet's sin. There's no file in heaven of yours if you trust in Jesus. Instead, there's an invitation to live a life full of the benefits of God. Would you like to? And so in declaring all of this, David is so full of thankfulness that in verses 20 to 22, he joins with the angels praising God. He joins with the whole of creation in singing a song of praise. That is where renewed life heads, to join in an eternal song of praise to the King who has kindly, lovingly, generously intervened in our lives. Imagine what that would look like if everyone in all of creation sung that song of renewed life following Christ. That is our calling, to delight in our Lord, to sing that song of creation, of that creation sings. And so to those who don't yet trust in Jesus, these are the benefits of doing so. God is not offering just upcycling in your life. He's offering forgiven, new, and transformed lives. And we would love to invite you to receive that, to receive a life with God as King, experiencing and knowing his love and renewal in your life. like the people who've been baptized, who are going to be baptized today, have. To do this, we ask for God's forgiveness. So God, I just declare that I have not loved you and loved others with my heart, whole heart. We turn from that and we ask for God's help to live renewed lives with him as King, filled with his resurrection power. And I'm going to lead us in a prayer in a minute, if you'd like to join in with me in your hearts. But I give you a moment to think about it. And whilst you do, for the Christian, these are the benefits. When you are tempted to walk away from faith, when you are tempted that it is just too hard, when you're angry with God, when you're sad, grieving, lost, these are the benefits of belonging to God. In times of darkness, pain, confusion, discouragement, take courage and take strength from remembering those benefits of knowing Jesus and being loved by him. And ask God to renew you every day with the reality of them as he continues to transform you and work in your life. Let's pray together. Father God, we come before you and acknowledge that we have not loved you with all of our hearts, that we have not loved others with everything that we have, and therefore that has separated us from you. We ask for your forgiveness, and we trust that Jesus' death on the cross is enough to kill those things. We trust in him and ask that you would wipe our slates clean and that we would get to live with Jesus instead. We ask that you would be King of our lives, showing us how to love God and love other people in the ways that you want us to. We ask for your strength to do that. We ask that your Holy Spirit would be in our lives, come into our lives, to lead us and empower us to do that. And we ask to benefit from all the benefits of knowing you, trusting you and praising you along the way. And Father, in the days of darkness, of pain, of grief, of confusion and discouragement, would you please give us courage and strength through these benefits? Would you allow us to be renewed, our strength to be renewed like the eagle? That we would know a fresh joy, a fresh delight, a fresh strength in following you and loving you as we dwell on all that you have done for us. As we come to worship you now, help us listen to you. Help us hear what you've been saying to us. Help us know how to obey. And we continue to ask for your special blessing on all those getting baptized. We love you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We trust you, Lord. Amen.